Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the Book of Acts.
Nailed it.
Hey,
move on.
I close my eyes and colors fly. There's no hiding from your grace. I can't deny your heart for mine and its unrelenting chase. I was on the edge of deception, caught up in my own hesitation, until your love took over me. So I let go and I let love show me life like it's supposed to be. An oasis, it awaits us, all the freedom I ever need. Now I'm alive.
All alive, all alive.
When I
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again, looking into the book of Acts. Those of you that have been following along, I hope you have your coffee, sitting in a nice, comfortable chair, ready to listen to the Word of God.
We put a little cinnamon in the brewer so that when it comes out, it's got a little cinnamon flavor to it. It's nice.
Or if you don't like cinnamon, we'll give you vanilla.
There you go. Vanilla. Any nice little flavor. Because I think in other countries, you know, we like to put milk and stuff in it, but in other countries, they put spices in it.
I think it's pretty smart. You could put a little hot peppers in there if you'd like. That would really make
it nice. I like it spicy.
Huh? Yeah. Hot, chocolate, spicy. Ooh. Wow. So anyway, we're in Acts chapter 15. We're picking it up where Paul and Barnabas are been traveling around through the Antioch and Syria and several places. Now they're coming back to Jerusalem, and they're going to end up at a council. This is almost like when churches and pastors get together and they have a big meeting. They call it a council.
It's a council. It's an opportunity for these missionaries, the first missionaries that kind of went out and came back with their stories, telling people what had happened on their journey.
So some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So notice now they're making stipulations for salvation. In other words, it's not simply because of faith in Jesus Christ, but now you must do something. In this case, it was being circumcised. Yeah. If you're not circumcised, then you're not going to be a Christian. So they're making a regulation, and people are no longer going to be free. They're making a legal position you have to fulfill.
It's pretty interesting. You read Jesus's writings, and he said the one thing that will save you is belief in the Son of God. He said it, believing in what the Father has done. So he made faith the foundation for everything. And here, they're adding a burden. It's something that circumcision, it's of the flesh, it's outside. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to get you into heaven. Being a member of a certain church, having a piece of paper, it's not going to get you into heaven. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
It would be like probably saying, you want to be a member of the gang, you got to get a tattoo.
Right.
That's the kind of the idea behind
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
But in reality, like you mentioned, just because you have a tattoo on your arm or just because you're circumcised, that doesn't really make you a member of that person. No, that doesn't do it.
We like that.
As human beings,
I think we like to be able to measure ourselves.
True.
And to say that, okay, if I do this, then I'm guaranteed a spot there. And I think we like that. We like to be able to know that there's certain things that we can accomplish that will get us in there. And that's not how the economy of the kingdom of God works.
So if you want to be a Christian, you cannot wear those earrings, young lady,
right.
Or you have to put your hair up in a bun.
Yeah, wrap it around the Quaker Oats box.
Quack. I've never heard that one. Marge Simpson, yeah. Go get them.
That's what they looked like back in the day. They would wrap it around, shove it in the bun. Yeah.
Never heard that before. But I did show up one time as a missionary at his pastor's house, and I preached in the morning, and he said, I'd like to have you preach in the evening, and I'd like to have your wife say something. And I said, well, that's fun. Fine, I'll ask her if she'd like to get up and say anything. But he said, no, before she gets up, she has to take off her earrings.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I'll tell her. And I went upstairs, and we were at their house, and we had dinner. We were waiting for the evening service, and I went up and told my wife. And my wife says, no, I am not taking my earrings off to speak in front of the church, because all she had was these little pearl studs, not a big gangling, dangling thing, just some pearl studs. And she says, I'm not going to do it. So I looked at her and I says, well, you know, honey, at least he didn't ask you to do what Paul asked Timothy to do. Paul asked Timothy to be circumcised. He didn't ask you to go to do that. She said, okay, I will. So she took him off, got up, spoke a word. And she says, when I got up to speak a word, I noticed, and I didn't notice it in the morning service, but I noticed nobody had earrings on. Yeah. Everybody had their hair up in a bun.
Yeah.
And that was a sign that you're a good standing member in this church.
There you go. No earrings and
nothing.
Tall hair.
So she sat down, put her earrings back on.
Yeah.
But she took them off to speak, and then she put them back on.
There you go.
So It's a legalism. We know that that's what it is. And Moses brought the law, and it didn't really save the people. It was a signature of how you should live,
right.
And nobody could fulfill it. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. Therefore, your faith in what he did becomes the way you get saved, not by your following after any legalese,
right.
In this case, circumcision.
You know, they held Moses in such high regard, and
I
understand that.
You know, he was a deliverer.
Yeah, he was an amazing person that God used to rescue the people and to bring them out. But God is the one who called him to go to it, but God's the one who delivered them, not Moses.
True.
And so today, once again, we can look to men and we can appreciate
Good
them.
Point.
But the one that we need to look at is Jesus Christ.
Boy, that's a powerful message there, because the reality is none of us could find salvation in the kingdom without Jesus.
Nope.
So that's a powerful point. So this brought Paul in verse number 2 and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. Wow.
You know,
we've got conflict.
Wherever Paul goes, he kind of stirs it up just a little bit. I mean, he went on his missionary journey. He's here. He's talking. And they get a group together. And he tells them about all that God has done and the disputes that broke out. And even here in the church, guess what? There's going to be conflict.
You know, it really is amazing how crazy it is. Because you would honestly think that, okay, if God's going to come into my heart and my life, why don't he help me to recognize God in other people and begin to be able to be united with them. But we keep still these old concepts, these old ideas, if you will, and they dispute with one another.
You know, sometimes you got to pick your fight. And Paul picked a pretty good fight here.
Yeah, he did.
Because this was something that had they let it go, it could have really destroyed the church.
It would have.
Because once you start putting this type of stipulation, you're not going to stop with one. You're going to have to come up with something else.
You're right.
And then something else. And by the time you get done with it, I think it's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, you know, you lay all these burdens on people, and yet you don't lift a finger to help them to get into heaven.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a dispute here and a debate within them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. So there's a question that is arising within the early church. What does it really mean to be saved? That's really the idea. Crux of the matter.
Yep.
What does it take to be saved? Do we have to be circumcised? Do we have to become a Jew first?
Right.
What is the meaning and the direction we need to take to be sure people are saved?
Yeah, it's an important question that all of us have to answer, that we have to come to terms with it, and Scripture's pretty clear.
So it says, the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. So here, as they're traveling to Jerusalem, it's interesting to me. I never really noticed. They're stopping in places, and I think they're probably preparing their arguments before they get to Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. They're
I didn't even notice that before.
I hadn't either. That's good.
Yeah. They're stopping in different places, and they're actually sharing what's going on among the Gentiles, almost like strengthening their position that they're going to share in a few moments with the council in Jerusalem.
So the Gentiles hadn't taken upon their physical flesh this seal that was given way back in the Old Testament to Abraham when God called him out. And so here, these Gentiles, they're hearing the message of Jesus Christ, and they're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And then these other guys are saying, yeah, but you really need to cut your flesh to make it real.
Right.
And it's like, no, I mean, can't you see? They're already saved. They're already filled with the Spirit.
Is that what really made you a Christian?
Right.
Is that what really did it? No, it didn't do it. And so the church sends them on their way, and they're traveling, and they're talking in different places about what they're going to be expressing in Jerusalem. And this news made all the brothers very glad.
Now,
when it's talking about the brothers, he's talking about the Gentiles. These Gentiles who have been converted, they're very happy that they don't have to actually go through I guess you'd call a ceremony.
Yeah.
A ceremony to get in. You've already made your expressed faith in Christ, and you don't have to do anything else. Just love the Lord.
No, you got the Romans, you got the Greeks, you got the Samaritans, who the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along very well. So he's going through these different places, like you said, strengthening his argument, going through there, and they're hearing all about this, and they realize that God is doing something bigger than just in the Jewish nation. Now, we love the Jewish nation. We appreciate them because from them we have salvation,
right.
and we support them. And yet, outside of that small chosen circle, if you will, God is welcoming everybody into the family.
But it's interesting because when I read this, and I wasn't really keen on the fact that he stopped and he spoke about this discussion he's going to have in Jerusalem, and he began to strengthen his argument, if you will, about the Gentiles and being converted. And it's almost like the Greek philosopher, and I can't remember who he was, or he made a statement that I think it might have been Plato, one of those guys. He said that knowledge comes through the dialectic process. In other words, as you begin to speak and you begin to discuss, you all of a sudden come to a realization, perhaps, of what you had thought was right was really right because it's been discussed, there's been many counselors, you've been talking about it, and you come to an awareness. Now, I think Paul had this awareness right away, but perhaps Barnabas didn't.
Right.
Because there was some conflict.
There was a little bit of conflict.
So, but Paul's ironing it out, if you will, talking about the scriptures, talking about things. And so they come to Jerusalem. It says in verse number 4 of chapter 15, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. So they're welcomed.
Right.
And that's a good sign already.
Yeah, open arms coming in. If there's one guy who would be able to support the circumcision stance, it would be Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. If there was anybody who wanted to lay burdens on people, it would be this guy. But God did a transformation in his life, and now he's coming and telling them of all that God was doing that so outside the box from what the norm religious thing was at that moment.
Yeah, and I have to imagine when Jesus says, why are you pushing against the pricks? Why are you pushing against this, what I have done? I have created freedom for people to come and make it into heaven, but you're still pushing against this, you know? You're fighting against it. And so Paul came to a realization, I'm not going to fight with this Jesus.
No.
I can't win.
You can't win when you go up against God.
He's
the man.
I'd like to be able to win, but I can't win against Jesus. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but, you know, it's not a bunch of rules that get you into heaven.
No.
It's not anything that you do in your own strength. It truly has been done by Christ. That's what's so amazing about grace.
Yeah. You know, and listen, circumcision, it's kind of a different thing today. We don't understand it like it was meant for them. But there are certain things that we probably do in our life that make us feel like if we do this, we can get into heaven. Circumcision is not what it was. So how do I apply this to today? What do I do that says, okay, if I can do this, then I know God will be happy with me. Then I know, you know. So it could be different things for different people. So just be on your guard and just welcome by the grace of God the salvation that's ours in Christ.
Then it goes on in verse number 5. Some of the believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees, just like you mentioned before.
Here we go.
They're having a party.
Yeah.
The Pharisees love to do kinds of things that maybe others don't. So they're having this party of the Pharisees. Some of these people, they stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. So now it's not just circumcision.
Right.
Now we got the requirements of all the laws of Moses. Just like you mentioned before, if you start off and say you have to do this, there's going to be something else.
It's going to be something else. Yeah. So, and they called them believers. So some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. So some of the Pharisees that Jesus dealt with got saved, but in the back of their heads, they're saying, okay, you know, I've been born and raised in this, and this is all I know, so you got to be circumcised, and you got to fulfill these commandments. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really quite interesting, but it shouldn't be, because I'm not sure we ever really learn from the past. We have a tendency to follow the guidelines, whether or not they're right or wrong. They have a tendency to become written in stone. And I think that since the commandments of Moses were written in stone,
we like it.
We like that.
We like them.
We love it written in stone. if it's written in the heart, we don't like it so much.
No,
I gotta have it on stone.
I need it.
Put it in writing. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It really is. There's no freedom in that.
No.
But anyway, there is this group, like you mentioned. They're Christians. They're believers. Mentioned that, and that's an excellent point. They're believers. But nevertheless, they're stuck in a place where they have done things so much the same way that they're saying, no, they have to be circumcised and they have to obey the law of Moses. Right. So they're making requirements upon Gentiles.
Yeah, that never...
That Jesus didn't
That
make.
Don't need to be there.
Jesus never made those.
Absolutely not. Because if you needed to do that, then before they got saved, they should be doing this.
They should be doing it.
Yeah.
Correct. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. So it must have been divisive if they decided that we've got to talk this out. And they did.
You probably had some conservatives and some liberals at the table at some point. Or, you know, some kind of ideology.
Will they get along? I don't know.
It's tough.
It's tough getting along.
It is.
And so it's a difficult expression here of faith, because one people are saying, you got to have faith. The other people say, well, faith, yes, but we still need this and this.
Yeah.
So it's faith and this and this.
Right. Faith and works. Show me your faith by your works.
There you go.
Show me your works by your faith.
Yeah. So after much discussion, I wonder what that means.
Yeah. There was some discussion.
I wonder how much discussion was made. Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe.
Mm-hmm. What a great opening.
God made a choice.
He did. He did. And Peter preached that message to the Cornelius' house. Yeah.
Yeah. And here he's saying that God said that I'm going to go preach to the Gentiles. Peter's going to stay and preach to the Jews, but I have been chosen to preach to the Gentiles. God made that choice. I didn't make that choice. God told me to go. So he's starting off with the right foundation.
Right.
He was called of God to do this.
Amen.
You know, there are things that you're called of God to do, and there you need to be faithful to them. And I think one of them is to make sure you live by faith.
Yes. Amen.
Live by faith. We're going to pick up on this story next week. I hope you stay tuned to this wonderful gospel message. And this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed wishing you a great day. God bless you.